We're doing Shoftim, and we had been learning about Shimshon. We're up to what people call the 14th chapter. And we had learned about how Shimshon saw a girl from the Philistines. And he comes back to his father, Manoach, who was the leader of the times. He was the Shofet. And his son says, "I want to marry a Philistine girl." So his father responds the way any Jewish father would respond and say, "What do you mean? There are a bunch of good Jewish girls out there. Why do you have to go looking for a Philistine girl?" And what does Shimshon answer him? Shimshon says, "No, I want you to get me her, because she's the one that seems right to me." Love at first sight, right? He hasn't spoken to her. He just saw her. And we see that she cheats on him pretty fast. So the truth is that God initiated this relationship. God wanted him to marry into the Philistines so that he would be able to begin his vendetta against the Philistines. But Chazal say there was a dual nature to this marriage, to this attraction. On the one hand, God initiated in Shimshon this direction that he has to marry into the Philistines. On the other hand, Shimshon was attracted by what he saw. And Chazal used the words Shimshon marad be'inav. Shimshon rebelled with his eyes. So the Gemara questions, what do you mean? The pasuk clearly says that God told him to do it. And the Gemara says, yes, but he still went after his eyes. Meaning, there's an element where God did have in mind, and it was God's will that he marry a Philistine girl. In doing that, he didn't sin. On the other hand, when he chose the girl, there was an aspect where he did go after his eyes. Now, throughout the story of Shimshon, the picture we get of Shimshon is of someone who, let's say, you wouldn't want your daughter to marry. We have to pause and get perspective. Shimshon was a shofet. Shimshon was the leader of the Jewish people at the time. He was the greatest rabbi of his time. When we say things that are less than complimentary about Shimshon, we're quoting Chazal, but we have to have it in perspective. The pasuk says, "Ka'achad shivtei Yisrael," that pasuk is a reference to Shimshon, that he was singular. He's the one judge, which the Torah tells us, the Torah and prophecy, foreshadowing. The Torah tells us there will be a judge among the Jewish people who will judge them as though God himself was sitting to judge them. Shimshon was such a great sage, he was such a Talmid Chacham, that when he sat in judgment, the Torah already prophesizes about him that he will be like the singular one of the Jewish people, God himself. So Shimshon was a big Talmid Chacham. And Yaakov Avinu pauses in his blessings that we read last week, in his blessings for the Jewish people, to give a special prayer for Shimshon. When Yaakov Avinu says, "Lishuatecha kiviti Hashem, Hashem, I await your salvation," Yaakov Avinu was talking about Shimshon. Before Yaakov's death, Od yishama ve'are Yehuda. So if you're wondering why we stopped class to greet the Chatan that came here, Chazal tell us that in the Beit HaMikdash, they had a special entrance for Chatanim to enter. And when they'd enter, so everyone would gather and dance with him. And it's very interesting because who would dance with him? The complete strangers, who only knew they were a chatan by the merit of the fact that they walked through that door. Meaning they had a special gate so that people would recognize who's the chatan, and then they'd dance with him. So you see that it wasn't their best friends who were dancing with them, because they didn't need a special gate for that. But Chazal instituted a special gate in the Beit HaMikdash because they knew that Hashem loves chesed that people do with one another. And one of the big acts of chesed is that when a person is a chatan, we rejoice with him. So that's why we stopped our learning. And Pirkei Reb Lezer continues and says, how do we fulfill it today? says the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, when a chatan comes to shul, the congregation stops what they're doing to greet the chatan. The congregation sings and dances and blesses the chatan. So I thought that we have to fulfill what it says and we have to stop our learning to greet the chatan. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Haba. Okay, back to Shimshon. So Shimshon, we were discussing, Yaakov Avinu paused his blessings for the Jewish people with a prayer, Lishuatcha kiviti Hashem, Hashem, I await your salvation. He was very troubled when he saw how Shimshon's end would come, Shimshon's ultimate demise. So Shimshon tells his father, I want you to take her to be my wife. And Chazal tell us interesting points. Chazal tell us his parents on their way to marry him off to this Philistine girl, they take him through a vineyard. And Shimshon says, Mom, Dad, I can't walk through a vineyard. I'm a Nazir. I'm prohibited from eating grapes. I'll go around. Chazal say it wasn't a coincidence that they walked by a vineyard. Chazal say that his parents took him to the vineyard and they said, look at the vineyard. A grapevine is something that we have a specific prohibition against planting kilayim, against interbreeding with the grapevine. Meaning you have a prohibition from mixed breeding when you plant any two forms of plants. If you want to take, let's say, you have a watermelon and you want to plant a kiwi tree. So you can't take a kiwi seed and put it inside the watermelon. You figure it's going to take all the juice from the watermelon and grow and grow and grow. Instead of putting it in the ground and having to water it all the time, I'll plant the seeds in the kiwi seeds inside a watermelon, and then the kiwi bush will grow out of the watermelon. That's a biblical prohibition. That's crossbreeding. You're not allowed to crossbreed plants. So that's true with all plants. But we have special prohibition in the Torah against kilayim with a kerem. And Chazal say his parents said like this: Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. Melamed shayu avi ve'imo marim lo karmei timnat azruin kilayim. They're on their way to Timnat, to the city of this Philistine girl, so they took him to the Philistine vineyards. And they showed him the Philistine vineyards where they did crossbreed. They had their grapes, and next to their grapes they planted wheat and barley, and everything was growing together, the way the Torah prohibits. And the truth is that a non-Jew is also not allowed to plant kilayim. But that's a separate discussion. Ve'omrim lo, and they said to Shimshon, Bini, my son, kishem shekal mehem zruot kilayim. Just like when you see their grapes growing, you're not getting pure grapes. They crossbreed, they have other things growing together with the grapes. Kach bnoteihem zruot kilayim. So too their daughters, they also come from crossbreeding. You don't know who the father is. It's not what you think. It's not a straight vine. David ve'imo lo yadu ki me'ashem hu. But they didn't know that it was from Hashem. There are seven places in the Torah where it says, Lo titchaten bam. You're not allowed to marry from the Gentile nations. This is a prohibition of Yareg ve'al yavo. If a Jew wants to marry a non-Jewish woman, he should rather give up his life than marry her. It's a biblical prohibition. And it's a biblical prohibition as weighty as marrying one's sister or marrying a woman who is already married. A married woman. Adultery. The Torah says one must be willing to give up one's life rather than marrying an eshetish. One must be willing to give up one's life rather than marrying one's sister. And one must be willing to give up one's life rather than lo titchaten bam, marrying a non-Jewish woman. Shimshon, there's a machlokas whether he did gir, whether he had the woman convert or not. If he didn't, so then Chazal say God told him to marry her. So his parents take him down to Timnat, and we said he's going around, and his parents are going through the vineyard, and he meets up with a lion, and he kills the lion swiftly and easily, and he doesn't say a word about it to his parents. They go down, Shimshon speaks to the woman, she finds favor in his eyes, and so he decides he wants to marry her. One date. So when you do blind dating and you go on one date, we're going to see what the outcome is. He comes back after a period and he wants to marry her. This time it seems he's coming without his parents. It's not clear whether his parents were there at the wedding. And he goes to see what happened with the lion that he had killed. And he looks at the lion and he sees that inside the carcass of the lion, some bees had formed honeycombs, and there was honey inside the lion. So Shimshon reaches into the lion and he takes fistfuls of honey, and he's walking along the path sucking the honey out of the honeycombs. He's eating honey. And he goes to his parents and he brings them of the honey, but he doesn't tell them where he got the honey from. Now, if you think about it, he's taking something that's pretty, I mean, it's not exactly the purest, most beautiful form of food. You're taking food out of a carcass. So you're not eating the dead animal, right? But he's eating the honey that came from a dead animal. So Chazal rebuked Shimshon for that. And his father goes down to the woman, and it seems like his parents were with him. Shimshon makes a party. And when they see Shimshon, so they take 30 guys and they tell Shimshon, these are going to be your friends. They'll make the wedding a happy event. And Shimshon, in the course of the ceremonies, says to these 30 young men, I'll tell you a riddle. If you could figure out the riddle throughout our 7 days of rejoicing, so then I'll give you each 30 garments, 30 covers. And if you can't figure it out, you'll each give me 30 apiece. So you'll give me 30. It's easier on you. But if I lose, I have to give you 30. I'm one, I'll have to fund 30. You're 30, you'll have to fund 30. So they tell him, fine, let's hear your riddle. Shimshon tells them, from he who consumes came out food, and from the powerful one came out sweet. What's he referring to? He's referring to the lion. The lion is a consumer, and out of the lion came out the food of the honey. Now, no one knows the story of the lion but Shimshon, so he's pretty confident no one will know it. They can't figure out the riddle. And they go to Shimshon's wife, and they tell her, seduce your husband so that we'll find out the riddle. Otherwise, we're going to burn you and your father's house because you're coming to impoverish us. That's what you called us here for? You called us here to be buddy-buddy with the chassan, and now we're going to lose our money on this chassan. So what does Shimshon's wife do? She spends Sheva Brachos wailing, and she tells him, you hate me, you don't love me, you asked a riddle to my people, and you didn't tell me. And what does Shimshon tell her? He says, I didn't tell my father, I didn't tell my mother. You think I'm going to tell you? Don't tell your wife that. What kind of answer is that? So maybe if you marry a girl after one date, then it's pretty obvious that the emotions aren't running too high, meaning I haven't yet gotten to know you. We only know one another for one date, and now we got married, we're married all 3 days, I haven't even told my parents. So 7 days she's driving him crazy throughout Sheva Brachos. And on the seventh day, she's really gotten to him. So he tells her. And what does she do? She tells everyone else. The people tell him just before sunset, what's sweeter than honey? What's stronger than a lion? And he tells them, if you wouldn't have plowed with my calf, you wouldn't have figured out my riddle. And he's alluding here to two things. He's saying, you broke intimacy with me and my wife, and that's how you found out the riddle. And then he has a godly spirit rest on him. He goes down to Ashkelon. Ashkelon, for many years, was ruled by the Philistines. Nothing to do with the Palestinians. They took the name. And there's something to be discussed about why they chose that name, but that's not for tonight. And he kills 30 Philistines. He takes their garments. He gives it to the people who figured out the riddle, and he's upset. He leaves his wife. He goes back to his father's house. Shimshon's wife goes to one of his buddies, and
she's a married woman. This is against the Noahide laws. But among the non-Jews, when you're married, you're together. When you want to break marriage, you leave. Meaning the concept of marriage without the Torah is an agreement. We're living together. Shimshon picked up and left. So he basically, he's indicating it's over. Or, it's not over, but I'm upset at you. Time passes, Shimshon comes back. He wants to bring a gift. He comes to his father-in-law and he says, I want to go see my wife. And his father-in-law says, no. His father-in-law tells him, I thought you hate her. So I gave her to one of your friends. But her younger sister's better than she is. Take her younger sister. And Shimshon says, this time I've come clean. This time no one's going to hold it against me for going against the Philistines. Now I'm going to pay them back badly. Shimshon captures 300 foxen. He ties their tails together, pairs them up, and he puts a torch in between their tails. And then he lets the foxen go. Now, a fox is an animal that's different than any other animal. Every other animal, when you chase after it, it runs. The fox keeps looking back and keeps running in circles. And it'll lead you forward, then it'll go back. The fox keeps going around in circles, trying to get away from you. Takes advantage of its small size, and it's always looking over its shoulder. Shimshon said, the Philistines always turned back on their promises. So just like the fox always turns back, that's the way the Philistines are. They always turn back. So Shimshon says, I'll pay them back with foxen. Now, it's the time of harvest, and here in Israel, when it's the time of harvest, everything's very dry. You know, we have the season of the winter when it rains, and then all summer long it doesn't rain. So everything is completely dry, and he pairs up the foxen, and they're each one's pulling the other way. They see the fire, they're trying to pull back and forth, and they burn down a tremendous amount of the Philistine grains and their crops. Now, the Philistines see that someone's burnt down their crops, and it's destroyed their crops, it destroyed their olive trees. They have a huge fire on their hands, and they ask, who did this? And they hear it's Shimshon, who's the son-in-law of that guy who lives in Timnas. So they verify what happened, and they say, yeah, that guy in Timnas gave his wife away. So the Philistines go up to the house, and they burn down the house with the Shimshon's wife and his father-in-law. And Shimshon goes and says, what, you burned my wife? He goes and he kills a bunch of Philistines. And then he goes and sits by a cave. The Philistines come. They've just been attacked. One man show, but they've been attacked. The Jews, they can't fight the Philistines. So the Philistines come and they camp near the tribe of Yehuda. They bring their forces to the tribe of Yehuda. The tribe of Yehuda asks them, what'd you come for? We'll do what you want. What are you coming to war for? So they tell them, we came here to bind down Shimshon. We want to pay him back. We want to pay him like he paid us. So the tribe of Yehuda sends 3,000 men to where Shimshon is camping out. And they tell Shimshon, you know, the Philistines are in charge here. What'd you do here? You want to make a war? Why are you leading us to war? So Shimshon says, I just paid them back the way they paid me. So they tell him, we're not getting involved in this. We want to give you over to the Philistines. So Shimshon says, fine, just promise me that you won't harm me. I don't want to fight you. I'm willing to take on the Philistines, but you guys don't harm me. So they say, fine, we won't harm you, but we want to bind you and give you over to them. We won't kill you. So they bind him with two huge, thick ropes, and they bring him up. As they're bringing him towards the Philistines start rejoicing towards him. And God's Spirit rests upon him, and the huge ropes that are tying his arms, they feel like they've melted, as though they've been burnt off of him. And he breaks free. And now he's standing there, this Hulk. We said he was broader than this room. According to Chazal, he was broad like from this window till the door outside. We're talking about a huge person. Both his feet don't work well. He walks on crutches. But he's huge. And now it's him against the Philistine army. Now, the tribe of Yehuda wasn't willing to take on this army. But Shimshon alone is going to take them on. So he finds a jawbone of a donkey. And he picks it up. And he starts attacking the Philistines. And he kills 1,000 Philistines with one jawbone. And Shimshon looks at the jawbone and he says, with one jawbone, bilchi ha-chamor, with the cheek of a donkey, chamor chamorotayim. Chamor could mean a donkey. Chamarim are also piles. He says, with one jawbone of a donkey, I made piles upon piles of Philistines. Chamol I used for making chamorotayim, for making piles. With this jawbone, I killed 1,000 men. He's finished his fight with them for that moment. So he discards the jawbone. And he's thirsty. And he's so thirsty, he's just out of war, that he feels like he's going to die. So he calls out to God and he says, you gave me this great salvation. Is your plan that I should die of thirst now? And then I'll fall in the hands of the Arelim. And we discussed last week that in this whole story, the Philistines are always going to be referred to as the uncircumcised ones. So God makes it that the jawbone opens up, and there's a part of the jawbone cracks open, and some water starts trickling out. He drinks the water from the jawbone of the donkey, and he's rejuvenated, and he names the place the eye of the Ein HaKore Asher Balechi. Shimshon goes to Aza. And in Aza, he sees a woman who's a zonah, and he goes and lives with her. The people hear that Shimshon's there. Aza is a Philistine city. And they prepare an ambush all night. They're preparing an ambush by the gates of the city of Aza. And they figure, when morning comes, we got him. He's in a city that's got walls, and he's in a city that's got huge fortification, huge doors. Shimshon gets up in the middle of the night, and he takes the two doors of Aza, which the Gemara says were huge. That's how we know how wide his shoulder blades were. And that's what we described. Like, each door was as wide as this room. There were huge doors. There were the gates to the city. He lifts them both on his back, and he takes them off together with the bolts to the doors, and he takes them on top of the mountain facing Hebron and leaves them there. So the Philistines thought they had him. Now he shows them he took the doors off the city and leaves them on the mountaintop. Then he falls in love with a woman by the name of Delilah. And the Philistines see that they can't overcome him. So the leaders of the Philistines come to Delilah and they say, seduce him, figure out where does he get this amazing strength from and how we could bind him, how we could overtake him. And then each of us, the 5 leaders of the Philistines, will give you 1,100 silver coins. Now, the simple understanding is that Delilah was not Jewish. Next week we will discuss indications both ways, but for now it definitely seems she wasn't Jewish. So Delilah says to Shimshon, tell me, how are you so strong? How could one overtake you? Shimshon tells her, you know, if they bind me with 7 fresh bindings that have never been scorched, then I'll become ill and I'll be like a regular human being. So the leaders of the Philistines, they bring her then, they bind him, and he tells her, you take bowstrings, yitarim, like you have a bow and arrow, if you take bowstrings, 7 bowstrings that have never been dried, that are fresh, then I'll be weak, I'll be like a regular human. They bring her 7 bowstrings, she binds them, and they wait in the other room to see what happens. He's asleep. She tells him, the Philistines are here. He gets up and he tears them off like they're nothing, and she sees that he's tricked her. So she tells him, you lied, you tricked me. Tell me, please, now, tell me, how can I bind you? So he tells her, you know, if they bind me with new ropes that have never been used for work, then I'll be weak like regular men. So they do that, she does that. Again, she tells him the Philistines are here. Again, he breaks free. So she tells him, yeah, you've been lying to me. Tell me, how can we bind you? So he tells her, if you take my hair and you put it, the 7 locks of my head, you put it in the loom, then I'm not going to be able to do anything. So she does that. She tells him the Philistines are here. He gets up, he starts looking around, lifts the loom out of the ground as though it was nothing. And she sees, again, he lied to her. So she is now going to continue with her agenda. And we're going to see that the great Shimshon, with all his strength, as we all know, ultimately fell at the hands of a woman. What the Philistines couldn't do, a little woman could do. And that's what we're going to learn, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week. And in 2 weeks, I hope in 2 or 3 weeks, we will finish the book of Shoftim. We'll try to finish it even in 2 weeks. So we got to move forward.